Hello, everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O-Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O-Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head author of O-Rock.
How you doing, Michael?
I'm fine. I've been doing a lot of writing this past month. That's basically all I've done this past month is work on writing Cat President 3. That's sort of what it feels like.
Awesome. Yeah, I seem to have received quite a few script files. I'm very excited about this. This is awesome.
Yeah, and I was going to ask, are we doing a bonus pathway? I've already... Mm-hmm. I know we did a bonus thing for game number one. Mm-hmm. And game number two was more like a bonus game. It was like a four-chapter story, right? It was like a mini-story.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, game one had the behind-the-scenes stuff. And then game two had the human president pathway. I don't know. What do you want to do?
I have no idea, but I've just thrown all the unused dialogue or the stuff I've changed, gotten rid of, into a different text file. So that could be kind of easy.
All right, so we can have a deleted scenes section. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. I had another idea, but I probably couldn't say it on the podcast without spoiling things, so I won't.
Well, it's probably a really good idea, and I can't wait to hear about it privately.
I keep getting worried that some of the stuff... I know you got back to me with, like, the intro scene.
Yes.
And one of your comments was like, yeah, this is totally a joke you did in one of the previous Cat President games. And I'm just worried that's going to happen a lot because I don't remember the jokes I wrote 8 years ago
or four years ago. That's part of my job, right? I'm here to catch these things. I actually caught one, but I didn't comment on it in pathway number one because I'm not sure if it matters.
Oh, no.
No, there's a small reference to a character named Goober, and I'm pretty sure in Cat President 2... there is also a small reference to a character named Goober. And these are two different characters. Do you think that's okay?
Goober? I'm going to have to look this up.
Yeah, Supreme Court Justice Goober, something like Senator Goober, something like that in Game 2, I think.
Top scientists.
And then it's the scientist right in this one, yeah.
Okay. Gosh, I used the same joke name. Oh no,
it's a good name though. So, I do you want me to change that? I think I have a list of brainstormed cat names somewhere, so I can slip something in there.
The joke is that both of the scientists have silly names.
Yeah,
silly unprofessional names, and so that kind of works.
What we need is we need the games to be popular enough that fans start setting up wiki pages for this so we can look this stuff up there instead of having to search old script and code files. Like, I want to see someone do, like, a timeline of all the cat presidents, something, you know, that spells out the rules that we've established for the government so we don't have to keep trying to remember them. That would be really helpful if somebody else could do that.
Because I had to guess, too. That was one of the things I did. I guessed that the original cat president was... I think it's Poopsie, right?
Yes. I believe we established it at some point that the first cat president is Poopsie. Yeah, and then Poopsie IX is a descendant of theirs. All right, here it is. Here it is, though. I found it. Cat President 2, Feline, has a line that says... that references... Chief Justice Goober.
Okay.
So we had a Supreme Court, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. That's funny because we actually established that there's a new Supreme Court justice in Cat President 3. So I guess Justice Goober must have passed away at some point or maybe just retired.
It could have been another justice. I don't know.
Boy, dead cats over here.
Anyway, so yeah. Pathway number 5 in Cat President. It has a reference to Poopsie, the first Cat President, but
okay,
I put a note saying I do not remember what gender that cat was. So I don't know what pronoun our character is going to use.
I don't know if we established
to refer
it or not.
To that cat.
I think in the Poopsie pathway, doesn't Poopsie talk about her great 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 grandmother a bunch? Is that supposed to be Poopsie the first?
That's right, mother. Yeah she uses there it that.
Is.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay, I'm deleting that note, and now we have the correct pronoun for
perfect
the original Poopsie. The other thing that recently came up was I feel like a scene I'm writing, like chapter 2 of the pathway number 6. I feel like this is a joke setup that I've done before with the our character goes to visit the League of Women Voters, but it ends up being a Girl Scout troop instead. Huh. And they're all too young to vote, so
I don't remember that. We definitely
it's not helpful.
There's a point in Dr. Nom Nom's. There's a similar one in his pathway where you're trying to sabotage his campaign because he doesn't want to win. So you start focusing on non-voters like children. But I don't think there's something. I think that's it, though. I don't think there's something where you accidentally visit voters that are too young. You do give a speech at a school in one of the pathways, but I think that's more to, like, parents and teachers than it is to kids.
I do feel like, I know presidents do visit schools and stuff, but maybe they're just doing it to be good people and not because they're actually trying to get votes.
That can't be right.
They're doing it to get a tax write-off. I don't know.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say that I'm almost done editing pathway number 1. I'm trying to speed up. I always say that. This time my excuse is the holidays. We'll see. Actually, that'll be my excuse next month too, right? We got more holidays coming up. Perfect.
Yeah, I feel like it's a terrible decision to have NaNoWriMo in November, like the National Novel Writing Month. Because November is a month where people traditionally get at least 1 week off of work.
Yep.
Or they visit their family members for a week and that sort of thing. And it was like impossible for me to write anything.
Keep saying we should be doing more stuff in like April, May, March, that area. I feel like nothing's ever really happening around then. We need to move more stuff into there and not try to bunch it all in at the end of the year. Like, Halloween through December is such a ridiculous time. Too much going on. I personally strongly feel like we should swap Thanksgiving and Halloween so we don't bunch those two travel, family-oriented holidays so close together.
Swapping Halloween and Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
I'm not sure that could work, because Halloween's like the day before, like the Day of the Dead, right? All Saints Day too, or it was a Harvest Moon Festival or something like that. Something along those lines. I don't know the origins of the holiday.
But things are way spookier. They're darker and they're deader out in November than they are in October. I think it fits better.
That is very true, yeah.
And October, you have more of a fall harvest thing going on in October than you do in November. By the time November happens, the harvests are already all done. Oh, you're not getting as many fresh fruits and veggies.
How many people are out there harvesting anyway? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a fair point. Conversely, I feel like Halloween would also be a good summer holiday. More time, more daylight. You know, it's easier to do stuff outside with kids than it is in the nighttime in October, I would assume.
Definitely, but I noticed this last Halloween, apparently there was like unscheduled times. It's like the first hour or two, let's say 3 o'clock to 4:30. That's for elementary school kids. And then after that, like 4:30 through 6 would be the middle schoolers and high schoolers. That just seemed to naturally occur. Maybe they were all like figuring it out on Discord ahead of time when they're going out, but that was just something I noticed, that all the older kids, as soon as, you know, the younger kids went in, all the older kids came out.
Yeah, I don't know. I strongly feel like the calendar could be rearranged in several different ways. And this is something that people should be looking into more.
Oh, definitely. I feel I think I've been on record for saying we're just unfair to poor February.
Well, and like Christmas and New Year's, way too close together. Like, I never even have time to think about, like, what I want to do on New Year's, because we're, like, just getting back from traveling for Christmas, and then it's New Year's, like, the next day. Maybe New Year's could be in February.
Well, it's exactly a week apart. I feel like that works.
No, but it's
definitely,
we need more
Chinese
space.
New Year is, like, February, right?
Yeah, so we should just use Chinese New Year instead of our New Year.
Like, there was a version of the calendar that they wanted to do, which was just 4 weeks. But I think people complained with that, like, calendar. If we follow, like, the 28 or 29 day calendar, it's like, well, the holiday falls on the same day of the week every year. And I'm like, why is that a problem if Halloween is always a Sunday? That feels like a bonus as opposed to,
yeah.
It's always weird when Halloween falls, like, on a Tuesday or a Wednesday in the middle of the week.
Yeah, I can imagine that's what I'm saying too. Like, Halloween being in the middle of the week, you have even more reduced hours that you can do your trick or treating in, and you can't, like, stay up all night and eat your candy because you have to go to school the next day.
Yeah, everybody was doing silly memes this year about it's like, oh man, those poor teachers, the kids are going to be in school today, all hyped up on Halloween candy. Although I think the best, like, Halloween related meme was one of my teacher friends posted last year. It's like, oh, hey, so the kids get an entire week off of school so they can have dinner on Thursday night. Like, when you put it that way, it does seem like super, super unnecessary.
Hey, also, Thursday, very inconvenient time for a holiday, especially when you're a freelancer and you don't, like, just automatically get a week off.
Yeah, especially, like, my wife works for the IRS, and any sort of, like, government position like that, they don't get Friday off. They have to come into work after Friday.
Oh, that's
the president never gives anybody the day off.
Messed up.
A lot of people are just forced to take their day off. But then there are some people that like going into the office on that Friday because nobody else is around. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It just seems like, I don't know, this feels like something that we as a country could get together on, is reorganizing the holiday calendar. Lower stress, lower temperature issue for us to deal with for a little while before we get back to the real stuff. That's what I think. This is what we should be working on in January.
Yeah, also working on the spelling of words, too. I believe that is a cat president joke, too. You need to re-spell. Wednesday needs to be spelled differently. Yes. Renaming the months and the days of the week.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Oh, and can we throw February in there, too? Like, why is there an R?
February, yeah.
Why is there an R?
I'd even have to look up where that comes from, February. I'm sure it's just some sort of ancient language as well.
Mm-hmm. Nobody says the R. Get the R out of there. Why is February spelled that way? February.
From the Latin term
Februarius. Comes from the festival of Februa. Yeah. Februm, a purification ritual celebrated during the month.
Well, then why did we put an R-Y at the end, though?
Be way harder to spell Februm.
I feel like you could just spell it with one U and that'd be fine. Februm. Mm. I don't know. Or two O's. I don't. So another thing I feel like we should be changing is just the standard keyboard layout as well.
Yes.
That's something
you want to
that's
change
been
about
causing
it.
Problems, especially in a month like this where I've been doing a lot of writing.
Yeah.
And, I tried to do, like, italics and bold. And in order to do that, you need curly brackets, which are in the most inconveniently located spot.
Yeah, this is
for
RenPy code.
Don't need to be right next to each other. Yeah. Do you use brackets anywhere else, really?
I found a cool hack for that when I'm working in Sublime Text, which is the software I put all of my code in, you have a bunch of different settings that you're able to customize quite a bit, and I was able to create a key binding that says now whenever I highlight something and push Control I, it adds the bracketed I and then slash I around the word.
Ooh, that's
so that
cool.
Was really exciting. Doesn't help with Word. Maybe there's something you could do similarly in Word. I'm not sure.
So what I've been doing with Word is I created an autocorrect so that if I ever type in the word II, just two lowercase i's next to each other as a single word, it autocorrects it into bracket I bracket. And then if I do three i's by itself, it becomes bracket slash
cool.
I bracket. So one for close, one for open. One problem,
to do that.
It doesn't work immediately after an ellipsis. So if you do like three periods in a row and then try it, the word considers that doesn't consider it to be a separate word because it's touching a period.
Mm-hmm. Still sounds pretty efficient though compared to, yeah, because the brackets are like way out of the way and you have to kind of stretch your fingers in a weird way to hit them. They're like the most inconvenient mm-hmm. buttons.
Well, yeah, you have to press the shift button, too, with that to actually...
Yeah.
Ugh.
And I will also, while we're talking about keyboard layouts, reiterate my, I would say at this point, demand for a dedicated M-dash button. Mm-hmm. Absolutely absurd. There's so much crap on the keyboard that I almost never use. In fact, maybe not even almost, maybe just flat out never use. And I use an M-dash, like... In every program, everywhere, I need M-dashes.
Yeah, so I don't know which alternate keyboard layout we need, but... Because I've seen that story, like, a bunch of different times. Like, the current layout, the QWERTY layout, was just designed for typewriters. And they put letters that are used together as far apart as possible to slow them down, to prevent the
right.
keys from jamming. So it's like, I don't want to use the layout which was purposely done to make it as slow as possible. It's like, give me a faster keyboard layout. Give me the one where I don't have to, like, move my fingers. Where the home row is, like, 90% of the buttons you have to type.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Man, I am not sure. I feel like I might be too old to relearn how to type, though.
They've got variations, so they've got, like, the one-handed keyboard, which is kind of cool, and then, like, a keyboard which is two, like, one-handed keyboards together, which has been banned from typing competitions for being too good.
Ooh, now
it's
we're
like,
talking.
I want that.
Yeah.
It's like, I want the illegal keyboard that will let me write as fast as possible.
Oh, that sounds awesome. Oh, you know what would happen, though? You'd spend all this time, like, learning and getting used to typing on the illegal keyboard, and then you'd go to, like, the library to have to type something or use someone else's computer, and you wouldn't be able to type anything but complete nonsense because you wouldn't remember
so
how to
tough.
Use that
yeah.
keyboard.
Yeah, people really care about that. Like, I think they really care. Have you seen those keyboards that are, like, curved? That some people swear by?
I found one of your illegal keyboards just on Google just now. I'm going to post it in the podcast channel on Discord. This thing
I don't think
is...
it's illegal, just banned from competitions.
No, illegal. It's illegal.
Ooh.
You have to buy it off the black market. Look at this thing.
Wow. That looks like it could be a how many words per minute? Like 500?
Yeah, 500. That's what it says. That's what the article says.
Wow.
Your palms rest on two black divots, out of which rise 9 different finger-sized joysticks. These 18 sticks move in every direction and can hit every button you need on a regular keyboard. It also detects motion in 3
yeah.
directions. So you have access to over 300 unique inputs without your fingers breaking contact with the device.
Yeah, so like instead of like pushing 4 separate buttons, you have a joystick button which you can push up, down, left, right, or push in. Yeah, I get it. That makes sense. I never considered that for typing. It seems like it would take a while to learn, but
yeah, you know what it reminds me of?
If it's been banned from competitions,
you remember His Dark Materials? It reminds me of the Alethiometer, like learning how to use this thing. It will take literally mm-hmm. your entire life, and you need these huge, huge binders and books to learn it. But, you know, you'll get there by the time you're 80 or 90.
I feel like if computers existed in that world, it probably would have gone a lot faster, if that makes sense. Like, there could have been an app which, you know, instead of having to look it up every single time, like you said, through huge books, it's like, just use the app.
Yeah, you're right. Man, if only they had phones.
That happens in a lot of old books, though. It's like, this problem would not exist if they had phones.
I'm watching...
Especially the Babysitter's Club.
We've been watching some of the new Star Wars series, so similar to what you're saying, like, it's really interesting looking at the computer screens in Andor, because they're still, like, having to base all of this stuff on the 1970s Star Wars idea of what futuristic technology looks like. So all the computers are big and clunky and have these awful, like, black and green screens that can't display like actual images and stuff like they have the worst technology. And it's supposed to be this sci-fi series, but everything looks so awful.
I know there are people that complain about the touchscreens all the time. I do agree that there are sometimes where like having a radio knob would work better than a touchscreen. I mean, getting back to, like, video games, when we've played video games that were, like, ported to the phone or something, but they're clearly designed to be made with a joystick, a lot of times there are problems just moving the characters around. Like, they have to create a fake control, like, up, down, left, right thing for you to interact with.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of course.
Those don't seem to work, yeah.
Little, like, touchscreen D-pad kind of thing.
It's like, it just doesn't work on a touchpad. I feel like that's what the Steam Deck is for, although I've never seen a Steam Deck. I presume it has a D-pad.
I put in a request for one, because you're able to request them as developers. I'm like, can you send me one? Shockingly, I have not heard back. It's been 9 or 10 months, but I'm still hopeful.
Wow, this Steam Deck looks crazy. It looks like, is this just a giant Nintendo Switch? Is that it?
I think that's the idea, yeah.
Oh, Nintendo better look out. I know there's a new... Isn't there, like, a new Switch coming out, but I don't understand what it is? OLED, what they said?
Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, with a fancy new screen? Yeah.
I don't know what a LED is or what an OLED is, and they look the same to me, so...
This is how I know we're getting too old, because every new console that comes out, I can't even tell what the difference is anymore. I wonder if we're ever going to see a change that's as noticeable as going from Super Nintendo to Nintendo 64, where games for those two systems look nothing alike, and you could not make one game that plays on one play on the other.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know if it's because I'm old or it's because, like, the differences really just aren't that big anymore.
Yeah, I'm not sure. There are people that claim they can see the difference between, like, they'll notice frame rates, but I don't know what to look for.
Oh.
I can tell when I'm recording a game and the frame rate has dropped to, like, 2 per second, but that's because it's very noticeable. Everything's moving in slow motion.
I think I've said this before, but you could put a gun to my head and ask me to identify which game is running in 30 frames per second and which one's running in 60, and I would just be dead. Like, I would never be able to. That would be it for me.
There's a couple speedrun tricks with the Nintendo 64, I think, for, like, the Zelda games and the Donkey Kong games, where they specifically do stuff to lower the frame rate to make the game go slower. That way you can pull off weird tricks. Or at least it makes it a lot easier to do split-second timing tricks. I'm like, that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think you can tell when it gets to, like you were saying, like, 2, 5, 10. Like, that's a noticeable difference. But, yeah. Apparently the new Switch OLED also has better speakers. So that's fun. I also don't use the Switch in portable mode most of the time, so I don't know that this fancy screen would do much for me personally.
That's the exact same way with me, so...
Oh yeah, it even says, this article says, no upgrades in TV mode. Internal specs are the same.
So I know there are definitely people that like playing it on the bus, like...
Oh yeah, sure.
Ride
yeah.
in and out of work, just play Switch games for an hour, which is fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's probably people listening to this right now who are like, are you guys out of your mind? I never use the TV mode. I only use portable.
Well, because I do like video walkthroughs, I kind of have to use TV mode. I do have to use TV mode. It won't. I'm not sure you can record your Switch screen unless it's in TV mode. Which actually brings me to something I wanted to mention from a previous podcast. Was we've talked about Great Ace Attorney before. Mm-hmm. So towards the end of Great Ace Attorney 2, we get a clue about a sword. Kazuma gets a message about the sword. He gets a message from his long-lost father, which is a puzzle. It's sort of a puzzle. It's about the sword. It's got mysterious things. And then I feel like 2 or 3 minutes later, our main character refers to that saying as a haiku. He's like, oh, there was a clue in the haiku that his dad wrote. That wasn't just a nice-sounding haiku. It was actually a secret message. And I had no idea it was supposed to be a haiku, because haikus are three lines long, but they only have 2 lines of text in the game.
Oh, no.
So they had to have it be a 2-line haiku, and I feel like this might explain that character we were confused by, Mr. Soseki Natsume, the Japanese author who's always saying strange things. Maybe he was supposed to be saying haikus. Maybe he was quoting his own haikus, because that feels like that the joke is that he's quoting the actual haikus that the real-life Mr. Natsume wrote. Because he quotes himself occasionally in that game.
Huh. Well, that would make him a much more bearable character if there was a reason for his stupid things that he is constantly saying. Oh, that's very interesting. Huh. Wow, it seems, though, that if haikus were going to be such an important part of the story, that they really should have had a text box that could display things in 3 lines, then.
Yeah, I don't know what the idea was behind that. Anyway, just a thought that popped into my mind, because it's like, well, the one thing in the game that they said was clearly a haiku was not done on 3 lines, and that might refer. Also, I was going to say, the titles for the cases in that game are very poorly done. Like, both the episodes with Mr. Natsume are, like, untranslated Japanese, so it's like the Clouded Kokoro is the name of one of them. And they never tell us what a Kokoro is.
Yeah, I remember noticing that the titles frequently seem to have nothing to do with the case. Or if they did, I couldn't tell what they were supposed to mean.
There's Twisted Karma and His Last Bow, which also made me mad, because it has nothing to do with the Von Karmas, who are Phoenix Wright characters. It has nothing to do with His Last Bow, which is a Sherlock Holmes story. So I just don't know what they were thinking there. I'm seeing here that Kokoro, that's the name of one of Natsume Soseki's writings. So it looks like it's a novel he wrote, and it means heart. And I'm sorry, but the Clouded Heart would make a better title for a case than the Clouded Kokoro, when the word Kokoro never appears in the actual case itself. I imagine the word heart appears in the case, maybe. Lots of the cases in this game are long cases, so it's gotta appear somewhere, right? I did like this one section in the final case where you play as a completely different character. Not to insult Ryunosuke. Do you remember the section where, in like the final case of the final game, you play as somebody else, or is it just too long ago?
I'm trying to remember it. It has been a little bit, unfortunately.
Okay, well, it feels like it's a scene from a different game, because we're playing as a different character. We're playing as, I'm totally forgetting the character's name. Oh, gosh. What is the name of the female lead?
Kazoo?
Her father.
Oh. Oh, God.
No, Kazuma was the best friend.
Yeah.
who had a sword named Kuruma, and it finally dawned on me in the last case. It's like, oh, their names sound similar. That's probably on purpose. Did the dad name his child after the family sword? Because I guess that's possible. Suzato, that's her name.
Yes, okay.
So for a brief segment in case number 5, you play as Suzato's father, and you're on a boat, and you have, like, a standard adventure game puzzle where you need to distract a guard. This guy's on guard outside a room, and you need to distract the guard, and there are, like, 4 different things in the hallway that you can mess with. Like, one's a mouse, one's a speaker, one's the door. And you have to figure out, okay, which thing do I mess with in order to distract the guard? And I thought that was just a really fun segment, just the typical... It really felt more like an adventure game. As I said, something from a completely different game, not a visual novel, because it's a standard adventure game puzzle of get past this guard. That's been in a bunch of games, right?
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I do remember the segment now and enjoying it. It seems like some of my favorite parts were the parts where you weren't playing as Ryo.
Yeah, poor Ryu. I don't know.
I wonder how Ace Attorney 7 is coming along. Or 6?
Is there a 7th one?
Oh, wait. Is this... No, this can't be a real update. I don't believe it.
Nope, just rumors. Yeah, it's in one of those things where... I feel like there are people that do that, not just with, like, Ace Attorney, but, like, every single year they write a new article in January, which is, oh, Ace Attorney 7, 2022 update. Nothing's changed, but they add a date at the end of it, and it's like, I feel like this was a remake of the article you wrote in 2021.
Yeah, I see that when I'm looking for, like, if there's a new season of a show I want to see coming out. Like, I'm looking up whether that exists, and it's like, yeah, everything we know about whatever, season 5. And it's like, the studio has yet to make any announcement.
Yeah, gosh.
So, anything else about...
I wonder what's going on with Ace Attorney. Oh, sorry. I mean, I know they released the great Ace Attorney... here in English, but that's not new news. That it wasn't a new game for Japan,
right?
So I guess all Japan has is just, you know, remakes of the old games, like this one for Great Ace Attorney, which is it's those 2 games, but now it's on Switch, or you know, the original trilogy, and now it's on Switch, or now it's on.
We do seem to get those remakes every like 3 or 4 years or so, and it's always big. You know, headline news that finally the Ace Attorney games are being re-released for the 7th time.
Re-released on iOS and Android, yes.
Yeah. Released on Steam Deck, re-released on PlayStation 5. Wow. Now you can play it on your Xbox. Insert the new Xbox name here.
Yeah, well, why make new games when you can just sell the old games over and over again?
So was there anything else about Cat President 3 that we wanted to talk about?
No, I'll keep everything else a secret for the fans.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, and you've been doing this for NaNoWriMo. Have you hit your NaNoWriMo goal for word count or whatever?
Oh yeah, definitely. These games are more than 50,000 words each. So that's I don't know if I got an award or anything like that.
Are there awards?
I don't think so. I feel like they give you... You can buy a shirt, I'm sure, or a sticker or something.
Oh.
You get a badge. Claim your winner goodies. Let's see what they are. Oh boy, we get a link to a YouTube video. You can print out a certificate.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can get a t-shirt. I'm sure it costs money. Goodies from their various sponsors who look like writing companies and such.
I'm looking banners. At the 2021 list of rewards. You can get 20% off a professional-looking printed copy of your project.
Yeah. That feels like a good business model for them to offer that, right? They probably make some money that way by teaming up with this writing group.
Man, the rewards I'm looking at are just a bunch of coupons. This person saying the prize is that you get a 50,000 word draft for a novel that you might be able to publish someday. Oh. The prize is the friends we made along the way, it would seem.
Aw, that's cute. I really have not been paying attention to the group emails. I am in the Portland area, so I get all the Portland area emails.
So you haven't even made any friends, so you really just didn't get a prize then?
I get to see Cat President 3. It's great.
Yeah. So speaking of our games, we have a couple listener questions I want to get into in a little bit. But first, I wanted to talk about the Moms game very briefly. I don't have a lot to talk about. I know you've been 100% Cat President 3 this month, so I meanwhile I've been doing a little bit with the Moms game. Basically, I've just started updating the script with all the edits we made, but also putting the AI art that we've been working on into the game, getting new music tracks, the sound effects. I've done some stuff with the interface, like I got the a text bar for us, the text box, I'm sorry, and the click to continue icon that's just essential to any good visual novel. I've been doing a lot of
text boxes are just so confusing. I feel well. I mean, you've seen my scripts, so usually I just write two lines of text and then it's a new paragraph or a new thing. I really need to figure out like the text box in advance. Something like the text box can only hold
400 characters. See how many characters it can hold.
And
I
really should do that, but I don't. I guess because the character names do change depending on, you know, what the player inserted. That's also a tough one.
That is something I've had to pay attention to when figuring out like font sizes and stuff like that. Like there's a part in the game where the name that you typed in can appear somewhere in the art. And so you have to make sure that the name can't possibly get any bigger than that spot you have allotted on the screen is. So it's a lot of like double checking font sizes and character limits and stuff like that. The way I test it is that I believe I've read that W is the widest character in the English alphabet. So if, for example, we've limited the number of characters to 10, I'll set the name to be 10 W's, and that'll show me the maximum amount of space that this name could possibly take up if someone decided to make their name. Ooh.
I feel like that's something somebody would do at some point, just to break the game.
But yeah, so
www.
I forget what I did that, what I was working on that for, but that is something you sort of have to pay attention to when you start allowing a lot of custom player inputs like we've been doing. But yeah, I think the game's looking really good. I'm pretty happy with how the AI art is turning out for the game. I think it looks nice. I hope people like it.
That's good. Yeah, I can't wait to see it. I was going to say, like, one line, I feel like we should change a line in the Philosophy Bombs pathway. I feel like we could, like, slip the lyrics to Mbop in the Philosophy Bombs pathway. You plant a flower, watch it grow, you don't know which seed is going to grow, something along those lines. I meant to do that at some point, but then I forgot to.
You have so many relationships in this life, but only one or two will last. You go through all the pain and strife.
Yeah.
Turn your back and it's gone
so fast.
That'll
definitely work. That would definitely work within the context of that pathway.
I think I put a quote from a philosopher in Philosophy Mom's living room, because the art generator generated this like big black spot that I looked like it was supposed to be like a chalkboard or something. Mm-hmm. It's hard to say. But I put a famous quote from a philosopher that I thought she would have liked. Don't remember what it was now, but I've been trying to do that, because whenever the AI art generator tries to generate like a painting or a photograph that goes on a wall somewhere, it just looks like a horrible mess. So I've been, when it does that, I usually try to just take something from Pixabay.com and put it in that spot instead.
It's weird, because I think in real life, artists do that a lot. Or, you know, like, they'll have a painting in a painting, right? That's something artists like to do.
I put in the podcast Discord. So here's an example of one where it put like a weird blob above the fireplace in this room. This is supposed to be the writer's. This is your sister's like foyer or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I made like a fake book cover that hangs above her fireplace that I'm kind of thinking is like, you know, maybe her first book or her most popular book or something.
I've definitely seen that piece of art before. That's a Pixabay art.
Yes, yeah. It is.
You looked up Kiss or Romance or something, yep, and that's how you got that one.
And I tried this one for the Nerd Mom's entryway.
Well, that's the first result for Kiss right there. Yep. I looked it up right now.
I tried to tell it to put a picture of Einstein on the wall in the Nerd Mom's entryway. It didn't really turn out, so I tried pasting one in there, but I'm not sure if I'm going to stick with that yet. It might be a little too incongruous, whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't look like it fits with the rest.
Yeah, I think I'll probably change that. And one more. This is all going in
because it's a picture of Einstein. It's an actual photo. Yeah.
Well,
because
I tried to get it to make
not photorealistic.
I tried to get it to make a drawing of Einstein, but I wasn't happy about it. But I'll keep working on that. And then this is one. This is all going in the Discord, by the way, in the OWA podcast channel. This is your character's niece, Mia. And it put some random junk on her t-shirt, so I added some bubble text that I found somewhere that says "like me" on it, which I thought was kind of funny.
Like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks like an actual word.
Anyway, lots of fun stuff we're playing around with. Should we do some listener questions?
Sure.
Alright, this one comes to us from The Crowbar on Discord, and they ask, are there any game concepts either of you, either individually or together, have had over the years that you scrapped/abandoned? If so, why? And would you consider revisiting them in the future? I kind of feel like we both have very long lists of game ideas that we never really moved forward with or are still planning to move forward with at some point and just haven't yet for various reasons.
Yeah, like the escape room game.
I wrote down that Trial by Hellfire I came across. There was the Catholic priest dating sim.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that was something I pitched to Choice of Games Heart's Choice, I think, is their romance label. And they demanded that I send in like four different game ideas, and they didn't like any of them. And one of them ended up becoming Mermaid Mission Titanic. I'm like, you know what? I'll do a mermaid game anyway.
Yeah, that was my experience in sending in game ideas to them, too.
And Pride and Prejudice as well. Yeah, okay. So two of them got made.
I have a couple of games that I made some progress in developing before stopping for various reasons. So one idea that I was been kicking around with forever was a game called Basically a Cow, which was meant to be, and people have probably heard about this one before, is meant to be kind of a pixely point-and-click adventure game, kind of like the real old ones where you'd actually have the list of verbs at the bottom of the screen you'd have to click on, like pick up, move, pull, except that you would be playing as an actual cow, and all of the actions you could do were only cow-related. So it'd be like kick, walk, flick tail, chew cud, and you would have to use these actions in order to solve various adventure game puzzles. And I had like an entire outline for a game written out, and I think I did wrote out like the first couple of scenes, but that was when I started to realize that was one of those games where I realized, oh, there's no way I'm ever going to be able to make this because I can't draw pixel art. One of I feel like many projects that we've given up on for that particular reason. Oh, It's still sitting around, and I think it's still there are some pretty fun ideas with it, but I don't know if it's ever going to go anywhere at this point. The other idea that made it about that far was an FMV game I wanted to do called Perfectly Normal Love in the Cool Dude's House. It was going to be an FMV game about. God, what was it? You answer this dating ad where it's like seven brothers who invite you over to their house so you can go on a date with each one of them individually in the house. Like, it was this really bizarre, dumb concept that was basically designed so that I could make another FMV game where I only needed one performer for the entire game. But this was going to be another one that was sort of hybrid FMV where you see a video clip and have to make decisions. I think I also had some puzzles written out for it, but that one I got as far as the intro and a little bit into one of the pathways before it just started to seem a little too stupid, even for me. So it stopped there. Maybe I'll come back to either of these ideas someday. I don't know.
Could be. I've got... I just have a game specs folder, so they're all in, like, different stages of completion. Like, I believe you mentioned, like, I was ghosted for Halloween. I was ghosted on Halloween. You said that was a... I'm sure that was, like, a joke title for a video game, but I thought that was cool, and so I've got... like a two-paragraph description of the game, and then four suggestions for potential characters. Such as low-effort ghost costume and a vampire who is extremely in character at all times.
Yeah, here it is. I found where we talked about this on Twitter. it was because you were talking about how there needs to be more Halloween romance. Because you said you couldn't find that many Halloween romance novels. So then I and our friend Jetty...
There were only two that I could find, yeah.
We were trying to pitch different ideas. I got ghosted on Halloween was actually Jetty's idea. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So I wrote like two paragraphs for that.
I had a fun idea for people who remember my old adventure game, Life in the Dorms. I've had various ideas for sequels for that. One was just Life in the Dorms 2, Death in the Dorms. It was going to be a murder mystery sequel. And I wanted to have people vote on which of the roommates died to determine who the murder victim is before I started designing it. Other one I thought of very recently is that I have a professor friend who is living in on-campus housing at their college that is specifically for professors. And I thought that was just like a weird concept that's just like rife for comedy. Like, 30, 40-something-year-olds living in a college dorm together. And that seemed like that could be a great Life in the Dorm sequel set like 10, 15 years later where Dak is now a college professor once again stuck living in the dorms.
That does seem like a weird setting. Isn't Why it? Is this not like a sitcom scene? Or that feels like that could be a sitcom.
Yeah, it would.
Because then the professors don't want to live in the actual dorms with the college students. And, there's got to be like the really old professor who's been there a million years. And
yeah,
probably like the young professor who wants to like have it be a cool party scene all the time. Sort of stuff. Yeah.
But the reason I've never done any further Life in the Dorm stuff, besides the fact that I don't know that anyone would buy it, is that I'm pretty sure I don't have the rights to do them, but also I wouldn't know how. I wouldn't know how to make a game that looks and plays like that. If I did it, it would be another visual novel, which would not be even a little bit similar to the original Life in the Dorms gameplay.
Yeah. So most of my unfinished things here are just like outlines for what would be a game, and like the next step would be like you reviewing the outline and then me writing a more in-depth outline. So like for a Christmas Carol dating sim, I believe you mentioned that. Like I've got an outline that's a page and a half. It's basically like a bulleted list, right?
Yeah.
And so what I'd do if we wanted to move ahead with that is I'd throw it at you, I'd have you check it out, get your responses, and then I'd make like a 5-page outline or a more in-depth outline. Same with A Year to Be Extraordinary. I believe that was like a randomly generated like book title.
It was such
which
a good
just
name.
Sounded really good. You posted that online, and so I wrote a 1-page intro. You liked the 1-page intro. It was only one page. And I wrote notes on one pathway. Oh, boy.
Ooh, wait, one more. I'm sorry. I have my ideas document open. I've had various ideas over the years for different Awkward Steve games, but the one that I started trying to design was one called The Awkward Steve Duality. So the idea with the original game, The Awkward Steve Duology, was that it was two games in one. So The Awkward Steve Duality would be it's one game in two, where you're playing two separate games side by side simultaneously, but you only have one decision at each decision point, and the decision you make affects both of them. So, like, a very simple example would be you say, go left, and then the Steve character in both of these storylines goes left. Even, like, one of going left might be good for one of the Steves and bad for the other, something like that. Or one thing I wrote down here, it could be extremely context-sensitive. Like, you might have the option, dig in. And it could be that one Steve is at a fancy restaurant about to dig into his potatoes, and you could see another Steve in a dark, spooky graveyard holding a shovel.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But that was very difficult to design, if you can imagine.
Yeah. And so two of these ones that people might be interested in is... I did an outline for Pizza Delivery Boy Who Saved the World 2.
That's right, you mentioned that recently.
Let's see how many pages. Like 2.5 pages. But it looks like one page is just chapter 6. I didn't know what the final chapter would be, so I gave like 3 different versions of what chapter 6 could be. One of them is the characters split up and search for clues. One of them is Doug travels to the evil future where things are bad. And then one is just like the first game, where the final chapter is basically our heroes storming the bad guy's fortress. But anyway, yeah, I got a 3-page outline for Pizza Boy 2. And also, Alex Squared. I'd totally forgotten about this. I wrote for NaNoWriMo like 2 years ago or something. It's a hybrid visual novel adventure game, because I don't know how to do adventure games, so it's closer to a visual novel in terms of the text, but it's sort of like the idea was that somebody lives through a time loop and goes through the time loop over and over again.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
A ton of different games are like that, but this one was really... Wow, it's like 100 pages long. Why did we just... I don't know. I guess we have more interesting things.
I feel like we've
Well, maybe I'll go back and try to go through it someday. Yeah.
I feel like we've tossed around different ideas on A Christmas Carol. You mentioned the dating sim, which I think would be the way to go. I remember at one point, so we were talking about pitching ideas to Choice of Games. I definitely tried to pitch like a fantasy Lord of the Rings version of A Christmas Carol, but I also like this one that I just found that I wrote down. Where it's really just the basic Christmas Carol story, but as interactive fiction. But I just like that I wrote down as a possible title, quote, A Christmas Carol, kinda. Stupid. Oh, man. Me and our friend Anna have talked about trying to do a potato-themed dating sim for a very long time with various names we came up with. Hot Potatoes, Mash Made in Heaven, Mash Maker, stuff like that.
Yeah, those sound great. Yeah.
Anyway, I would say that I bet a lot of game designers probably have gigantic documents of random ideas just like we do. We do have one more listener question. This one comes to us from Joe Reviewer, also on Discord, and he wants to know, what is the worst video game you love? And I have a quick answer for this one. It's a game called Lifeline on PlayStation 2. It is a voice-controlled survival horror game. The voice controls almost entirely don't work. But when they do, I find it extremely affecting in the way that they do. Like, you're playing a person in a control room trying to give advice and instructions to this person who is stranded on a space station that has been infested by these horrible monsters. So you're trying to, like, it's at times trying to convince her to do things, but just trying to get her to navigate, get the different key cards and whatever, and not get herself killed before the story ends. And I just found the game incredible, but I can also see that most people would not have nearly the patience that I did with it.
You know, if I had to say what's the worst video game I love, you know, part of me wants to say the Fire Emblem games,
oh,
because nobody likes watching me play Fire Emblem. I think they're vaguely popular with certain groups, but like, I've tried posting those on YouTube and such before, and nobody likes watching me play those games. So I don't think it's because it's a bad game. I think it's just completely mismatched audience.
Right, so the people who are here for Nancy Drew and other similar mystery games, they aren't as interested in like the hardcore RPGs. Yeah. Well, Joe, I hope that answers your question. And I hope that someone out there gets the license to Lifeline on the PlayStation 2 and does a remake with like Alexa technology. Like, voice recognition technology has certainly come a long way since 2004 or whenever it was that this game came out, not to mention microphone technology. It would be really cool to have a remake of this game that I am probably the only person who enjoyed. And with that, I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefumf, spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on PC and also occasionally on console. Or you can just visit orock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is by Fifth Avenue. You can check them out on SoundCloud. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we'd love to hear them. Email them to podcast@orock.com. Is there anything that you'd like to add, Michael?
Nope.
All right, sounds good. See everyone next month.
A story will be told. Go!
I feel like that's another thing that's cheerfully dark. Like, whenever you talk about skin, like, it's just automatically creepy to talk about skin, but she's so happy about it.